I call this meeting of the Matanuska Sitna School Board to order. This evening, we are delighted to feature our student art in response to March Youth Art Month celebration. Governor Walker issued a proclamation on March 1st designating March as Alaska Arts Education Month. We'd like to thank teachers and students for making our community a better place with art. Madam Clerk, do we have a quorum?
Yes, Madam President, we have a quorum with all members present except Member Welton, who's absent and excused.
And who has the board goals? Member Rutherford.
I do.
Thank you.
Matanuska Susitna Borough School District vision, mission, beliefs, principles, and goals. Our vision, Matsu Borough School District will be a model of excellence in teaching, learning, and engaging all students. Mission, Matsu Borough School District prepares all students for success. Beliefs, we believe that the needs and best interests of students drive all decisions. All students can and want to learn. Participation of stakeholders is crucial to student success. Our guiding principles are stewardship, accountability, empathy, quality, integrity, respect, collaboration, and commitment. Our goals, we will improve student success, achievement, and performance. We will increase the graduation rate. We will maintain and continuously improve safe and healthy environments for our students and staff, and our schools will welcome families and community members in the education of our youth.
I'd like to ask Mr. James Smith, the day custodian at Willow Elementary, to please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Will someone please approve the agenda? Make a motion to approve.
I make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Thank you. Is there any objection? Seeing none, we will move on to persons to be heard on non-agenda items. Madam Clerk, will you please read the rules?
Yes, meeting conduct. The following guidelines apply. The speaker states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear on the agenda. The speaker's comments should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-aged children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributable to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any single individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard or may be handled in executive session or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room cleared if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designee or take the issue under advisement. A maximum of 1 hour per meeting. We have one person signed up on the list, Karen Salisbury.
Greetings. Can you hear me? I'm Karen Salisbury, the president of the Classified Employees Association. Last week, I attended the bid opening for the custodial services. It was a well-done, very laid-out process in which the sealed boxes were opened and the contents were inventoried for completeness. Basically, the bid opening was the first level which determined eligibility for the bid to be considered by the evaluation committee, which was meeting the next day. Our purchasing department does a really good job in making sure that the public bid process is followed. So during that bid opening, there were three bids to be considered. Two of the boxes had all of the parts and pieces that were required. One box, however, did not contain all of the required components of the bid. In fact, it was missing the actual cost component, which was required to be in a separate sealed envelope within that sealed box. Employees of that company were in that room observing the opening and in the end did confirm that their cost proposal was indeed missing from the contents. At that time, they asked if they could get it to purchasing later, and they were informed that unfortunately the deadline for submission had passed and that additional materials wouldn't be allowed. So you can imagine my surprise when 2 days later I got a phone call from the district informing me that although the company was initially determined unresponsive, they had been allowed to submit the missing price later, and their bid would be considered by the evaluation committee. Now, I do appreciate that gesture of the phone call, even though I obviously would have noticed when the intent to award letter was sent to that company. So after this information started to settle, lots of thoughts and questions came to mind. First, I wondered if the district could do this, extend the deadline for one bidder. So a CEA representative reached out to the lead person for one of the other bidders to ask if they had received the information as well. And that bidder had no idea that the deadline had been extended for one of the companies. I also wondered if the school board had been informed, and if this major error to forget to include your cost proposal would be made public, and if any of the other companies asked for exceptions, and if so, were they granted? From the beginning, we have questioned whether outsourcing is the best policy decision for the district. And now we can't help but question whether this will be a fair and transparent process for them to ultimately get there. Thank you for listening.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak on non-agenda items at this time? Seeing none? No, she just walked in. Seeing none, we will now move on to borough and city reports. Mayor Cottle.
President Dierman, Superintendent Stone, board members. My name is Bert Cottle, Mayor of City of Wasilla, and I have just a couple items. First of all, we just finished up our centennial monthly event this time, and for the month of March, it was a centennial pet contest. I'm happy to report the goat didn't win, a dog won, so I didn't have to kiss a goat. So congratulations goes out to Bittany Maynard and her dog Mighty Might, and they'll be our centennial dog of the year and be in all our parades and functions that we do during this year. Coming up this weekend at the Menard Center, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday will be the Matsu Outdoorsman Show. This year's show will have over 100 vendors to include boats, campers, RVs, ATVs, and more. Friday's doors open at noon. Saturday and Sunday's doors open at 10 a.m. Coming April 1st at the Menard Center is a Boomtown Derby Dames Roller Derby, and on April 4th at the Menard Center is Tuesday Night Fights. The Ben and Merle Haggard concert tickets went on sale last week, and they're going fast. I handed out a brochure for you to look at in case you want to go. You can go to brownpapertickets.com for more information. And finally, we're going to do the first Valley Fitness show that I know of ever been done in out in the Valley. That's going to be on August 5th, and you can go to their website for more information. Thank you.
Mr. Wallace, Palmer City Manager.
Good evening, Madam Chair, Superintendent, members of the board. Again, Nathan Wallace, City Manager of the City of Palmer, for the record. Just a quick update on what the council and the city activity has been for the last couple of weeks, primarily last night. We conducted a visioning session for Palmer. That discussion will continue for the next couple of months. But at one point last night, it became clear that we consider Palmer to be more than just what's inside the city limits. Palmer is the area that surrounds the city as well, and we haven't communicated that well in the past. There's certain things we can and can't do outside the city limits, but we can influence and can be influenced by those areas, and we want to make sure we include that in our vision for the next 18 to 20 years. So that's some of the things we need to clear up in the fog of what Palmer will look like. What do we want Palmer to look like in 2035? So if you hear about Palmer 35, that's what it is. It's we're working on our vision for the future. And we look for comment from those that live in, around, come to Palmer for a day, or come to Palmer to settle for life, so that we can shape what our destiny looks like. I have copies of a 5-page white paper, not a vision statement. It grew. So if anybody's interested in reading that, it was passed out at council last night. A lot of comments. The direction was to get that down to 2 pages. So looking for community input on how to do that. And then finally, just a reminder, Monday, March 27th, 10 a.m. at the MTA Event Center or the Palmer Ice Rink, come on out to watch our kids enjoy themselves for the second annual Rockin' Hockey game. Again, it starts at 10. That involves several of our high schools and the students there. So thank you for all you do for our schools, and that concludes my comments tonight.
Thank you. And now we will hear from our superintendent, Mr. Stone.
So for our administrative report tonight, we're going to provide a legislative update. If I could have Executive Director Amy Spargo and Assistant Superintendent for Business and Operations Luke Folp come forward. And so what we're going to start with is revisiting what came out of our last session from last year and some of the implementation that has occurred. Amy Spargo will speak to that. And then between Mr. Fulp and Ms. Spargo. Excuse me. Oh, I thought you needed some. They'll give updates on some of the things that are in session right now. So go ahead and start with Ms. Spargo.
Good evening, President Dearman, Superintendent Stone, member of the board. I thought we might start with some of the legislation from last year that the FY16 passed. All right, Luke, I'm cursed with this.
Yes, if we could just get control at the presentation device, that would be great.
I think I need to go on record as saying as I was Earl's eighth grade science teacher, and that this is payback every time I get up here. Computers weren't even invented back then, so I don't think I'm responsible for that. No, so we started off with House Bill 44, which is Alaska's Safe Children's Act, and this was a mandate from the state that has impacted instruction in that we are now providing a lot more training in suicide prevention, sexual abuse, sexual assault, dating violence, and abuse awareness to both students and staff. We did have elements of all of these in our health curriculum that was adopted and went through the board, but now we're providing six different students will be have training on this six different times in school. And it was not an unfunded mandate. The state provided $1 per student, so we got $18,000 to implement this act. And we've used that to purchase materials and services, and in particular we're moving towards online modules for these elements to ensure that we're not just compliant, but that they can be delivered in a variety of ways. I also bring these up to the board because there will be board policy coming before you this spring related to all these changes. The next one is health and physical education. We are now required to make sure that students in grades K through 8 have 54 minutes of daily physical activity. And that can be in any manner from PE, recess, or movement in the classroom. And today I got to watch first graders hopping out their syllables, getting some of their minutes in, so that was pretty fun. The next one that came from last year is the parent's right to direct the education of a child. Our district has had a long history of honoring parent choice, and we have had a long history of parents choosing alternative assignments or opting out of assessments, but now we'll need to have a board policy that reflects this legislative act, and so that's coming this spring. It also requires that there is a vetting process for not just our curriculum, but our speakers and all non-curriculum material, and that process has been put in place this year. And these go into effect starting next school year, so we've just been working on them all year.
Okay, thank you, Amy. I'm just going to move forward with just a brief overview of a couple of measures which impact our funding for the district, and then Amy will get back into some education-related items that are being considered by either the Senate or the House. First one is the operating budget that's passed through a number of committees in the House, House Bill 57. It's now on the floor in the House. It's being held for reconsideration for a vote for the full membership on March 27th. potentially waiting to see kind of what's happening and transpiring in the Senate, being that eventually these operating budgets may be leading us to a conference committee of sorts between the two bodies. So currently, House Bill 57 restores full funding to education, and that's full statutory funding. For both the BSA, that's $5,930, which is what we have in the current year as a BSA level. That was supported by the governor, and the House also supported that throughout their deliberations. They also have full funding for pupil transportation program, which in the governor's budget we discussed and was built into our preliminary budget. There was a reduction to the pupil transportation program. So this was good for the Mat-Su Borough School District to get that fully funded. In fact, Superintendent Stone provided testimony on House Bill 57 on March 2nd. He spoke to the importance of the bond debt reimbursement program, which at the time was an amendment. There appeared to be a $40 million reduction that was being considered by the House. Specifically, Senator Seaton introduced this amendment, knowing that there will be cuts to education, at least that's what the Senate's discussing currently. Amendment was taken off the table, and the bond debt reimbursement was fully funded, pupil transportation was fully funded, and the BSA was fully funded. That's really important to us and critical as we get to the final days of the session and potentially even extended session, because it means as they go into conference committee, we still have the ability to have those programs be protected and fully funded. If they were short funded in conference committee, they would not be able to restore to the full amount if both bodies went into that conference committee with reductions to those measures areas. So where we're at with the Senate is a little bit different story. We have Senate Bill 22, which represents their version of the operating budget. It's been referred to finance and has had a number of hearings. The Senate Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 22 contains no funding for the Foundation Formula Program or Pupil Transportation Program. We provided testimony last Friday on this bill as a school district, letting the Finance Committee know that we would like the opportunity to provide testimony once they do build in their funding proposal for education. But we explained kind of where we're at right now with the budget process, where our deficit's at, and what this would, the discussion of a 5% reduction to the BSA, which we were hearing from co-chair Hoffman. He's saying that education, university, Medicaid, and DOT will all receive a 5% reduction and to look forward to that, and they're trying to figure out what that looks like. So we explained the importance of this and of fully funding to the statutory level and gave them some insight as to the budget reductions that the school board's considering here with your preliminary budget. So moving on, those are the two largest pieces that may impact funding in the coming year. Beyond that, there's several measures that are, a bit interesting. They're different than things that we've seen in the past. And so it appears as though the legislature's exploring all options and examining different ways to produce revenue or create endowments to create sustainable draws from these endowment funds to support the Public Education Trust Fund. So currently we have Senate Bill 78. It has a number of different co-sponsors within the bill. It looks like it has some support. We'll kind of track this and see where it goes. But it's been referred to education and a hearing scheduled for Friday. What it creates is an education endowment fund and also a dividend lottery fund. The idea is the education endowment fund would have a balance of at least $1 billion before the state's allowed to do sustainable draws. The dividend lottery fund would feed into that endowment fund, and the lottery would only occur once that dividend lottery fund had a balance of $500 million. So basically the dividend lottery allows citizens to purchase lottery tickets, and the prizes are paid out of that fund, but they purchase lottery tickets with their dividend, $100 increments, and then anything in excess of $500 million goes into the education endowment fund, and the sustainable draw is based on fair market value of the fund over a five-year period. And 4.5% goes into the Public Education Trust Fund. So the idea is the trickle-down effect and the funds being generated through gaming. Senate Bill 87 covers the school construction energy efficiency standards. This is really, I think, a lot of the legislation that we see within this bill, sponsored by Senator McKinnon, was born from a study that was done for facilities across the district. So there was a facility study done along with that school finance study that was done in 2015. It looks like McKinnon's taken some of the information gained from that study from Envision Architects and built it into some legislation that we have before us. Basically, this has been referred to Senate Education, and this time they're taking some preliminary testimony and information from state agencies. Essentially, what they're trying to do is establish a working group that develops energy efficiency standards appropriate for the climate region and zone for the area of Alaska. The working group also establishes acceptable costs for construction, K-12 facility, and then adjustment for climate region zones. There's the bill requires building commissioning process, which is kind of a best practice in what we do here as a school district with all of our new facilities. And then it also prohibits our architectural or design awards for any contractors working on these buildings, so that it limits any unnecessary spending on the part of the state and the municipalities, perhaps. So there's a lot in this bill. The majority of it we could see as being beneficial to schools within the state of Alaska. However, we would need to kind of get more information as testimony is provided, and potentially as the Department of Education weighs in on specifics around how this would work. But we are tracking that as well. And then I believe this is the last one on finance-related items, but it's a school income tax. It's House Bill 146. It's sponsored by Klayman. It's been referred to education in the House and was heard earlier today. It imposes a sales or a school tax on income. So it taxes a resident's adjusted gross income, and it's dependent on what that level of income is, so it has a tiered tax structure that goes from anywhere from 1% to 3.3% of the adjusted gross income. And it also allows a provision within it for residents to contribute their dividend to pay for the tax up front, any tax that's owed. This last one, Ms. Spargo and myself are going to walk the school board through this one. This is essentially what we're seeing is the education omnibus bill for the session. There's a lot to it. It was introduced earlier this week. It was sponsored by Senate Education, specifically Senator Hughes. And what we're hearing initially is that it's based on a lot of testimony the Senate Education Committee's heard, and they're trying to package everything all together in one bill. What was also presented in the ADN earlier this week with regards to the bill from, Senator McKinnon, who sits on Senate Finance within a leadership role in the majority, she acknowledged that the bill likely can't pass before next year's legislative session. So she identified that there's a lot to this, that we'll have to work through it, and we'll just be tracking it as we move through the different items. So I'll turn it over to Ms. Spargo for the first bullet item.
I think a lot of what's up there is self-explanatory. Some of those things we do already. We already have other credit options for students. That's a district decision that we have put in place and in board policy a long time ago. The one I would like to highlight in particular is about the Virtual Education Consortium. There has been an extensive amount of testimony and participation from our district regarding what we're doing with personalized learning and what we're doing with virtual education. Our district has a long history of using online courses and reaching out to other sites for resource sharing. This idea of a consortium really is taking ideas of what we're doing and bringing them statewide. The state is proposing vetting courses and actually being the holder of all the virtual courses that districts with broadband access would use. There'd be a fee to participate in this, but one piece of it also is teacher education. And part of this bill requires districts to use the Virtual Education Consortium for teacher professional development. And that's a new thought that has some unintended consequences regarding calendars and those kinds of things. We haven't had an opportunity to testify on this bill. Like Mr. Phillips said, it just came out this week. And so far, it hasn't reached a point of public testimony, but that is something we're preparing to do.
In addition to that, there's a number of finance-related items with regards to shared services and looking at health insurance pooling. That's a component of it. It's not very clear. The bill doesn't articulate exactly how that's going to look, but we'll be paying attention closely to that and partnering with rural districts. There's some grant options for some of that, some of those efficiencies that could be gained. Additionally, it appears as though they're trying to increase the allowable amount school districts are able to hold in reserves from 10% to 25%. Of course, we're not anywhere close to 10%, so this really doesn't pertain to us, at least in the current year, but it does allow districts to maintain additional reserves. And then a couple of items related to transportation. We currently are required to have two periods of school bus inspections per year. That's funded by the Department of Education Early Development. They pay for those reviews and inspections. And so it looks as though they're trying to cut costs there and just have those inspections occur once a year. And then also there's Alaska statute that there's a requirement for school bus drivers to earn two times the minimum wage that's set by the state of Alaska. And as we went through that process of renewing our contract with First Student last year, we explained how that was contributing to the cost for our renewal because the state had increased minimum wage. So it looks like they're repealing that requirement within this measure. So there's just a whole host of items that are being considered and discussed. And as Ms. Spargo mentioned, we'll just be tracking and weighing in as needed as this progresses.
On a high note, House Bill 52 relates to pre-elementary school programs. There's been great progress shown in our state with preschools, and this bill languished in committee until just this week, and it got moved forward. And this is certainly something that we would be supportive of. The highlight, of course, is that pre-K students would count in our daily membership, and so we could get state funding for voluntary preschool students, and that is something we're very much in favor of. House Bill 64 has a corollary bill in the Senate, and Lucy Hope and I testified in January relating to this, and it has just also started getting some traction in the last week. It's in the third reading. This bill starts or initiates a task force that is going to make recommendations regarding reading instruction practices in all of our public schools, and in particularly relates to students affected by dyslexia. We did not testify in support of this. We were real clear with the committee that there's lots of good research on best practices for teaching reading, and that our district has a very comprehensive RTI process, and that our issues are more human resource issues, that we know small group and one-on-one instruction takes extra people. And as we lose teachers, that makes it particularly difficult. Senate Bill 75 relates to teacher certification. In some ways, it's at odds with Senate Bill 96, which Senate Bill 96, you saw, increases the minimum criteria for teachers to be certified on the praxis. It sets our praxis minimum scores at or above the highest state in the United States. And this goes the other direction, and it allows limited teacher certificates without having a praxis or a student teacher, those kinds of things. So they're in hard to fill areas though, and this one makes good sense to us. We are encouraged to have people teaching Athabaskan at our ANSEP schools, and we've had our ROTC instructors don't come by way of a traditional training process, and so the district is in support of this. The other informational update I wanted to share with you, oh, I still have my animations. The Alaska Legislative Task Force started last year on civics education. This came from a proposal that all students would need to take the U.S. citizenship and immigration naturalization test. So basically the test for someone to become a citizen would become a high stakes test, and it would be a test that all students would need to pass in order to graduate from high school. We have been involved in this testimony throughout the year. Becky Murphy and I have sat through several hearings, and the task force is recognizing that, again, another high stakes test would have lots of unintended consequences, and that they've moved towards requiring that our standards include the elements from the naturalization test, and that students are given the opportunity to take the civics test, naturalization test, at least once in school. For the record, in the MATSU, our ninth grade civics classes all include that test, and they have multiple opportunities to take it, and it's used as a formative assessment and then a summative, but never a high-stakes tests where they couldn't pass the class without passing it. There's been a lot of other recommendations from the Civics Education Task Force, and it seems to be a group that continues to meet and an evolving set of recommendations. We could return to any slides if you have questions or...
Before we take questions or concerns from the board, I would just like to advise you that if we do have any further questions or concerns that you would like to have addressed, that we could submit those and have them answered in Board Connect, because they could become quite lengthy this evening because so much material was covered. But if there's anything really pertinent that we need to get to right now, we can do that. Otherwise, we could submit those to Mr. Fulp and Ms. Spargo, and they will cover them in Board Connect for us. Member Rutherford.
If someone has the time, I would like to understand a little more about that reading and dyslexia one. I don't know how much traction that one has, but only because I thought I understood it, and then I saw, of course, a Facebook argument about it, and it confused me a little, and I wasn't sure what to think anymore, and I thought if some expert in the area could give us just a little bit more information about what they're proposing there and what it means to the teacher in the classroom.
Oh, we certainly can. At this time, they're still making amendments and changes to it, so as it evolves, we'll certainly keep you updated.
Member Michelson?
Then along the same lines, probably I'm interested in the fiscal notes that will probably develop over time. I think I didn't see much of that here, but just to kind of note that as well.
Member Larson.
Yeah, I agree with that. Those unfunded mandates that sneak in there all the time. On the Senate bill or the House bill where it full funds the BSA and the pupil transportation, that's still, even if it's fully funded, it still doesn't keep up with our year-to-year inflation and increases, does it?
Yes, sir. To answer your question, it does not. It essentially is fully funding to the statute, what's currently required in statute. So there was no recognition of increasing costs or the like. We've expressed that a number of times with pupil transportation specifically. Those cost adjustments haven't occurred since 2015 when the provision for CPI increases sunset. And then with our BSA, it's set where it currently is. And with the state building in the last House Bill 278 was the last multi-year funding plan. That bill was packaged as both one-time monies outside the formula as well as what would seem as conservative increases to the BSA, and then in the second year of that implementation of that measure, they pulled the one-time funding. So we truly have seen very marginal increases with the BSA, and here we have no increase whatsoever. But what we're just trying to do in terms of our advocacy at this point, based on what we're hearing is the intent of the Senate, is to at least get these to be restored to being fully funded, rather than a 5%, for instance, a 5% reduction statewide to the BSA would be another $9 million that the Matsu Borough School District would lose, so in revenue. And that hasn't been built into any budget that we've presented to the board to this point. We presented originally an $11.2 million deficit, so that would then balloon that deficit to $20 million, in which the board would have to go back to the table and look for other areas to make reductions.
And the fully funded to statutes, how much percentage do we lose each year off of that? 3%, 2%? I mean, do we fall behind 1% or 2%, even though it's fully funded?
It depends on the CPI increase for that year. But so a lot of our costs are, you know, when we look at, I think in terms of the inflation factor to rely on in the state of Alaska is the Anchorage CPIU for a lot of essentially the cost of doing business. But for us as an entity, knowing that 85% of our costs are built off of our collective bargaining agreements, we have some increases built into those with regular step and call movement. We're surely flat funding from the state on the BSA or outside money not keeping up. We're not gaining any ground. We're losing ground essentially, and that's what's contributing to the deficit is stagnant funding.
Thank you, Mr. Fulp. Thank you, Ms. Bargo. We do not have a student advisor with us this evening, so we will not be having an advisory report from our student representative. Do you want to continue on here? Okay, I will turn it back over to Mr. Stone.
So, good evening, President Dierman, members of the board. We've begun the fourth academic quarter of the year, so we're in the home stretch here. We hosted a very successful Tech Expo and lots of great feedback on the event. It's truly demonstrated that it's not a district event, but this is a community event and is really pulling our community and demonstrating to them what 21st century learning should look like. And so a lot of great efforts, a lot of great participation from students, and a lot of happy kids. So ANSEP Middle School Academy, they began the first day yesterday. It will conclude April 1st, and also the ANSEP Acceleration Academy. They had a great open house at Valley Pathways last night. There were over 100 people who attended that dinner and the program presentation. Have a Teletown Hall meeting, and that is being held by the borough, and that's organized by ARP, and the meeting is March 23rd from 7 to 8 p.m., similar to the one that we worked with ARP. And so it's really an opportunity to do for a community to participate in a question and answer. Mayor Vern Halter and Manager John Moosey from the borough, they'll take calls to discuss the tax options to fund schooling and emergency services. And you can register online at HTTP, your / and Vekeo, which is VEKEO.buzz /AARP-MATSU. And also you can participate through an 800 call-in. It's 1-877-229-8493 and followed by a PIN 14554 number. If folks want to call in, you can get that by calling in, and our administrative assistant, Jennifer Dahlquist, will have that information for folks. Our RFP that remains in the evaluation process for custodial and nutrition services. We have state basketball that begins tomorrow, and championship games will conclude on Saturday evening. We have Wasilla High School and Colony High School girls. They're playing in the tournament. We also have the Wasilla High School boys playing in the tournament, and then also have ASAA cheer tournament that coincides with state basketball. So. Should be a good weekend for some great activities if people want to get out and participate in some March Madness. As far as budget update, we'll do that in the actual action item. We've already had a report on that. Really, nothing's changed in terms of budget.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. Could I please have someone move the consent agenda, which consists of the minutes of March 1st, 2017?
I move the consent agenda, which includes the minutes of March 1st, 2017.
I'll second.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, we will now take a 10-minute break.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can I make it a 10-minute break?
Moving on to action items, can I have someone move action item A?
I'll move action item A, resolution 17-003, fiscal year 2018 preliminary budget and local funding request.
Second.
We have already had an administrative report on this at our last meeting. Is there anyone in the public who would like to make comment on this item? Mr. Stone?
Yeah, so initially this was put forward as a 6% increase ask, and that was amended, and it in the resolution states that, therefore, be it resolved that the Matanuska-Susitna Borough School District respectfully submits its 2017-2018 preliminary budget to the Matanuska-Susitna Borough, and as a component of budgeted revenue, requests a minimum increase of 4.4% per pupil, or $3,350,000. Same amount, however, instead of using the figure 6%, we're doing it as per pupil, 4.4%, so that it reflects the actual enrollment number.
Thank you for that clarification. Is there any discussion by the board? Seeing none, we will vote. That item passes unanimously. And as noted, Member Rutherford is not here to vote on any of these items. Moving on, will someone move action item B?
I move action item B, FY18 paid meal increases.
Second.
And again, this is an item that we discussed at our last board meeting. Is there any further information we have on this, Mr. Stone?
No changes at this time.
Thank you. Is there any comment that anyone would like to give at this time from the audience? Seeing none, any discussion by the board? We will vote at this time. And this item also passes unanimously with the board members present. Moving on, action item C.
I'll move action item C, resolution 17-004, education sales tax.
Second.
Anything from the administration, Mr. Stone?
No, district would just like to see it move forward as is.
Thank you. Any comment from the public? Seeing none, any comment from the board? Member Larson.
What is the timeline on this if it was to go to the October ballot, if it was duly accepted by the borough?
So I believe they have until the end of this fiscal year to get this move forward to put it on a ballot. And if it were actually approved by the voters in October, it would the sales tax would effectively go would go into effect January 1st, 2018.
Okay, we'll vote. And this two votes, this vote was two unanimous with all members voting. Thank you.
I move action item D, Matsu Central School out of country travel request.
Second.
And here comes Mr. Vervolo with the administrative report.
Uh,
Superintendent Stone, Board President Dr. Dierman, and School Board. It's my pleasure tonight. I will make an introduction of a teacher advisor from Mat-Su Central who will actually give the administrative report on the request for out-of-country travel to England and Scotland. This is a teacher I worked with 17 years ago. I actually had the pleasure of hiring her and her husband, and they're outstanding English teachers. She currently is working at Mat-Su Central as a teacher advisor, and her name is Maggie Helly. Maggie, would you come up here? I will also stay present for any questions after her presentation.
Thank you. Good evening, President Dierman, Superintendent Stone, and board members. As Mr. Vervilla said, I'm Maggie Helly, and I'm representing Mat-Su Central School and Principal John Brown. Unfortunately, Principal Brown was unable to attend tonight's board meeting. Mat-Su Central School is currently requesting board approval for our trip to England and Scotland in May. According to board policy, travel abroad outside of the school year may be granted by the school board if the school has documented plans for administrative oversight and student discipline accompanying the request. Mat-Su Central School is requesting approval for a group of 20 students, 9 parent chaperones, 3 teachers, 2 administrative staff, and 1 principal to travel to Scotland and England. The group will depart on May 22nd and return on May 31st. In accordance with board policy, the school must have a supervision plan. Mat-Su Central supervision plan involves a 2-to-1 ratio, 2 students per 1 adult. Additionally, the 24-hour tour director and evening hotel security guard are part of the AF Tours plan to provide a safe and well-supervised trip. Mat-Su Central School has also created a behavioral and guidelines contract for participants to sign prior to the trip. The plan outlines expected behaviors as well as disciplinary actions and protocols in the unlikely event that a student must be sent home prior to the end of the trip. Please consider this as our formal request for permission.
Are there any questions or concerns from the board? Member Larson.
Well, I'm sure it's all planned out and everything is within the scope of education. It would be just kind of nice to have a little report afterwards what you guys did and where you went. And what you learned.
Right, that would be great. Yeah, we've been having the students research the places that we're visiting ahead of time, and they've been giving presentations on that. So part of our plan was to have follow-up after the trip to have them get back together and share what they learned. So that'd be great to have them come to the school board and share that. Thank you.
Is there anyone in the audience who would like to make comment on this item? Seeing none, we will vote. And that is unanimous. Have a wonderful trip. Someone please move action item E.
I move action item E, reemployment of tenured teachers for the 2017-2018 school year.
I'll second that.
Yes, this item is for the reemployment of tenured teachers for the 2017-2018 school year. If there's any questions on this, Catherine Gardner, Executive Director for Human Resources, is available to answer any questions.
Are there any questions from the board? Is there anyone in the audience who would like to make comment on the rehiring of our 2017-2018 teachers, tenured teachers? Seeing none, the board will vote at this time. And that is a unanimous vote as well. Moving on, please move action item F.
I'll move action item F, reemployment of school administrators for the 2017-2018 school year.
Second.
Yes, so this action item, again, we're just seeking the reemployment approval for our school administrators for 2017-2018. This would be our assistant principals and principals.
Is there anyone in the audience who would like to make comment? Any members of the board, comment or discussion at this time? The board will vote, please. And that is unanimous. Moving on to action item G.
I move action item G, reemployment of central office administrators for the 2017-2018 school year.
I'll second.
It has been moved and seconded. Mr. Stone?
Yes, this would be the reemployment of our central office administrators, which would include our program administrators, assistant directors, directors, executive directors, and our two assistant superintendents.
Thank you. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to make public comment at this time? Is there any comment from the board? We are ready to vote. And that passes unanimously. Action item H.
I move action item H, reemployment of non-tenured related service providers for the 2017-2018 school year.
Second.
Yes, again, this is moving to reemploy our non-tenured related services providers for 2017-2018, and looking for that approval.
Any comment from the public? Any comment from the board? We will vote, please. And that is unanimous. And our last action item I.
I'll move action item I, Ficklin Construction Contract Amendment Approval.
I'll second.
Thank you. Mr. Stone, please.
So if I could have Assistant Superintendent, Ashley Bjornson, our Director for Finance, will give a short report.
Okay. President Dearman, Superintendent Stone, and board members, per BP3312 contracts, all amendments greater than $200,000 require board approval. Ficklin Construction was awarded a snow plowing contract for the district. It's a result of a competitive bid process, and it was awarded on an occurrence basis. The original PO was issued for $183,540. And this request before you tonight is to increase the PO to $290,000. This would cover outstanding invoices and snow removal needs for the remainder of the school year.
Are there any questions from the board? Any discussion or any comment from the audience? Thank you, Ms. Bornson. At this time, we will vote. That too passes unanimously. We are now moving on to non-action items. Action item A, Department of Education and Early Development seat time waiver request. Do we have an administrative report?
Yes, Dr. Dearman, members of the board. So this seat time waiver request, if you recall recently, you saw a presentation by Dr. Goyette. It spoke to the blended model that we are planning on introducing at Sherrod Elementary and also at Kinnick Elementary. We've had open houses, shared what the model will look like with families and also to the board. In order for that to move forward, it requires a letter from the school board to the commissioner. The commissioner has the ability to waive those traditional seat time requirements and traditional day requirements. And so this letter demonstrates what the model will look like, what the design will look like, and just is going to be a letter, as shown here, generated by Dr. Dearman, and we'll move that forward to the commissioner, and we believe that he will approve of this as they're looking for innovative ideas in education.
Member Larson?
You said that the commissioner is the final and only say on this. In other words, if he does approve it, it doesn't go anywhere else. It's just him, the commissioner alone, and his staff, I assume.
Yeah, so the commissioner will review it. Also, I would imagine that the director of learning and assessment will also take a look at this, as would some of his other staff. I think the state school board would also be interested in this, just because it's a little different approach. But ultimately, what would determine the waiver is if it falls within the regs, and we believe that it does, that there should be latitude within regs and statute to actually do this. But it does require the final authorization from the commissioner.
Would anyone in the audience like to make comment on this? Please come forward and state your name.
My name is Kathleen Yurovich. I'm a teacher at the Mat-Su School District. And I just wonder, with the seat time waiver, that it will just pertain to the blended learning program. That must be correct. And it just seems that how are they going to prove that they are actually doing that, those 90 minutes and the 75 minutes per day, that seat time? How is that going to be justified from a home? Is the parent going to sign it off? So those were just some comments and concerns I have about it. And also on the letter, the way it's written, it looks like it's 90 minutes a week. So it says 90 minutes / 5 days a week, and it'd probably be clearer if it said 90 minutes per day, 5 days a week. And then 75 minutes per day, 5 days a week. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to make any comment at this time? We will now move on to non-action item B, discussion of gaming permit violation. Do we have an administrative report?
Yes, Dr. Dimmer, members of the board, if I could have Director of Finance Ashley Bjornson come up.
President Dierman, Superintendent Stone, members of the board, this is being brought before you as a discussion item only, so you will not be voting on this item. The district received two notice of violation letters from the Department of Revenue for Wasilla High School and Glacier View School's gaming permits. The letters stated that the prior year gaming account balances were greater than the total donations of net proceeds, and the letters asked that we resolve the violations immediately. Part of the resolution of the violation is to bring this before the board in this manner this evening. To resolve the violation, we devoted the funds as a donation to student activities. Accounting policy was updated to discontinue registration of gaming permits in the future. A process was established to allow school districts to partner with nonprofits who are valid gaming permit holders to conduct raffles for fundraising in the future. The process change protects our employees because they no longer bear the member in charge responsibilities under the gaming permits. An annual report for the 2016 activity was submitted to the Department of Revenue, and the gaming permits expired as of December 31st, 2016. If you have any questions, I can answer them at this time.
Member Michelson.
This is one of the agenda items I don't quite get. And I'm not sure. So how does this relate to the booster clubs? Are they some of those 501c3s or nonprofits or not? And don't they normally have the gaming permit, or have we then stopped them from having gaming permits, which tend to be shared, I think, sometimes from activity to activity?
So this change doesn't affect the booster clubs. As a 501c3, they are eligible to acquire their own gaming permits with the Department of Revenue. This just makes it so the school district will no longer be acquiring gaming permits. We can still partner with booster clubs who are valid gaming permit holders to hold raffles and for fundraising.
So this then essentially takes the school district employees and the school district's interest out of gaming?
Yes. It takes the gaming permits aren't renewed, and so it makes it so the school district employees no longer bear the regulations under the gaming permit.
Okay.
Thank you very much for that report. We will now move on to persons to be heard on non-agenda items. The same rules apply as our board clerk read earlier. If I don't believe anyone is signed up, but if you would like to come forward at this time and be heard on non-agenda items, please come forward and state your name, and you will have 3 minutes. Seeing no one coming forward, we will now move on to future items, future business. Our upcoming meetings, April 5th at 5 p.m., we will have special recognitions here at the district office, and at 6 p.m., we will have a regular school board meeting. And on April 19th, we will have a regular school board meeting at 6 p.m. here at central office. Since our last meeting, have we had any correspondence or board committee meetings that anyone would like to give report on? Oh, Mr. Michelson.
It seems like it's been so long since we've been here that I think we had an academic advisory committee meeting for Mattsu Central
if
School.
If you would like to do that, I would appreciate it.
If I could find my notes, maybe you could go to somebody else while I find my notes.
Maybe. If I could help you if you I don't have my notes either.
That'd be great.
But go ahead and we'll.
Well, the thing that stuck out to me the most at the AAC meeting was that we had a Fairbanks parent attend via Skype. You know, kind of speaking of technology.
Yes.
And I thought that was really unique, and the clarity was just really, really, really good for kind of that distance participation in the Academic Advisory Committee. And then one of the other things that stuck out to me at that meeting was up on the PowerPoint, Mr. Brown had listed activities, clubs, and different classes that are offered inside the building, which then really kind of solidifies the fact that there are 2,000 kids in and out of that building every week. So I thought that really stuck out with this whole blended learning idea and really getting away from the kind of the older concept of homeschooling, morphing into blended learning. So that's about all that I can recall without my notes in front of me.
Thank you. Mr. Stone, comments from administration?
Just, notice Dr. Sarah Welton's absence, and we hope that, she gets on with a speedy recovery. And thanks, folks, for coming tonight. Mr. Folk.
No comment. Thank you.
And Dr. Goyette's out tonight.
Member Trimmer.
I really enjoyed the Tech Expo and seeing the growth. It was amazing how much it had grown over just 1 year. And we had a lot of sponsors compared to the first year. We had one, and I believe eight now. And I'm sure it'll grow more over the next few years. And I look forward to seeing that growth and the kids have fun, they enjoy it, and we all get to learn things that we never dreamed would happen when we were that age. So I really enjoyed that. There's lots of sporting events going on, plays. I encourage you to get out and get involved. There's also this weekend's wrestling tournament at Colony, which is not a school event, but is at a school because of the community partnerships that we have with all the schools, and the ability for the community to use our schools to enhance the community and to give us places to do all of the things that everybody wants to do and enjoy here in the Valley. And that's all I have for tonight.
Member Michelson.
I really appreciate seeing all the wonderful artwork tonight, and art was also represented at the Tech Expo that I was fortunate to be able to have gone to. It's kind of amazing how it's grown in the last year, and really is, I think as Mr. Stone said, a real community event. I thought we were celebrating something tonight with all of the ceramic sweets over there. I almost grabbed a donut earlier. But these are just really, really great works of art, and I think is a really good reflection on the art program in our district. So I really appreciate the emphasis on that tonight. I had a chance to attend the Arcos Ridge Leadership Academy Parent Night a couple of weeks ago after our borough meeting, and it was really good to see the Palmer Library with quite a few kids and parents there and very, very interested individuals. I'm really excited to kick off the school within a school, which is the kind of the starting point for that program. So I wish them all the luck and look forward to visiting that school within a school program next year. One of the partnership that we should expect from the borough, I think will be, you know, kind of proven out, I think, in what we passed tonight about the education tax in the borough. And I'm hoping that it's going to be a really good starting point for us to collaborate more closely and then really bring the kind of the value of education and the attention to education potentially through a tax of some sort here in the Valley, where it can not just increase kind of the sense of ownership, but also I think the just the attention paid to education and, you know, the uneasy kind of reliance that we have on state funding and the turning to the borough for greater funding, for more supplemental funding. So I really hope that in the next couple of years we can really take a couple of next steps to more closely partnering with our borough and really kind of continue to put the school district as the crown jewel of the borough, the reason that people move here and the kinds of programs that we have. So I hope that they choose to pass that resolution and put it into on the ballot for consideration with the voters. So anyway, thanks.
Member Ruth?
I too enjoyed all the art that was up tonight. It's kind of inspiring, although I'll never be able to do any of it. And thank you all for coming out tonight.
Member Larson?
I want to thank staff for the presentations tonight. Those really help us keep in tune and up to date, and as well as everybody listening and coming to the meeting. Especially the Senate and the House bills, I think it's kind of interesting how that the federal side of the education is cutting mandates down, and it seems like our state is adding mandates. And I hope they're asking for a lot of stuff that we're already doing, and I just hope that they really look close at some of the mandates that they're asking for, because it seems like it's more of an oversight instead of allowing the school district to grow. But time will tell on that. I enjoyed the Tech Expo a lot, and I'd like to see someday what art and tech do together. I know there's a lot of computer art, although I like the visual and the hand-held art, but I'm sure that there's a good combination eventually between the tech industry and the art industry. A lot of stuff that's really created this that's really beautiful also. The education tax, which has been mentioned, I just want people to realize that the school board, once again, cannot raise taxes. We do not, we can't raise any funds whatsoever, and we have to ask the state and the borough for funds, and we're looking at every possibility to get our budget to where we don't fall in a deficit every year. because the term fully funded, when it's used in the Senate and the House, doesn't mean we're fully funded. As explained tonight, that means we're falling behind because of the increase in health costs, the increase in our staff's steps and ranges, and any increase in cost of living, even without cost of living and goods and services, we all fall behind every year. So fully funded never means that we're fully funded. And hopefully someday we'll get to the point where we have a balanced budget and look forward to the next 3 or 4 years and with a balanced budget. But once again, like I've always said, and I'm going to continue to say, we're going to still go forward in the best education for our children into the 21st century, using blended learning and tech, as well as traditional learning. And we're not going to let the budget slow us down, even though we seem to be losing on that. Thank you.
The artwork in here tonight is phenomenal, and if anybody has any doubt that there aren't great things happening in the Mat-Su Borough School District, just take a look around this room, and you can't help but smile and know that everything that we're doing is going in the right direction. And like Mr. Larson and the rest of the board, I'm confident that we're going to keep going that way, and we're going to find a way to do it. And with the help of Mr. Fulp and the leadership that we have here at district office, I'm convinced that we will climb this mountain and we'll get there, and we're going to do it the best way that we can. And that's doing, to quote Mr. Stone, good work, great work, and leading the kids in the direction that they need to go. The Tech Expo was absolutely phenomenal. And if you didn't have the opportunity, please mark your calendars for next year, because you missed a wonderful occasion. And I have it on very good authority that Catherine Essery learned to play beautiful music on bananas. How she did that, I have no idea, but you have to ask her, because it was something really unique there. But it was a great thing, and it was just amazing. As I sat there, or stood there, walked around there, and looked at some of the things going on, for anybody that has any fear or question about blended learning, all I can say is, when you have a dedicated teacher, and I mean dedicated to teaching and to the cause and to the classroom and to what they're doing, and you have students with creative minds, and just, you know, the sky's the limit of where their creativity can go, and you equip them with technology of tomorrow, the universe is the limit, for not even the limit for them, because some of the things that they came up with was absolutely mind-boggling to me. So I have no doubt, and I was reassured at that Tech Expo, that we are doing the right thing, and we're doing great things for kids, and we're being led by great teachers and by great administrative decisions. So I'm hopeful, and I think we're going to get there. So thank you very much, and that's about it. So with that, I will ask if someone will please make a motion that we adjourn.
A move that we adjourn.
Second.
We are adjourned.